coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Woohoo! Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they make an excellent transition to our teachings, and that's kind of important. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. The media, by the way, does an excellent job of brain bleaching. Ow, ow, ow. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because just like you, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Here it is. Because we offer prayer on this show. Let me ask you a question. Just be honest. Do we hesitate to ask other people to pray for us? Because we don't want to appear weak or seem needy. Are we more concerned about how we're looking than how we're doing? That's the question. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We find that to be sad. Just reach out to us. You can do that in a number of different ways. The first way you can do that is you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, that's like talking to the person that has the gift of encouragement. There you go.
That's son of the butter, sons of Barnabas, right? Yeah, sons of encouragement.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Son of encouragement. We'll just call you Barney. Okay. Anyhow, well, we're not going to do that, but that's funny if we want to. You can also, by the way, text us. People are like, you can call. I'm not sure if I want to do that, but that's okay. You can text us. If you don't want to call, that text number 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Now get ready for it. The semi-professional voice. Here it goes.
214-210-8483.
There you go.
I'll take that one.
That's a solid one right there. You can also email us. Yeah, you can do that too. There's a lot of things you can do. David@hemustincrease.org. David, my name, not King David, not anything else, David, just David, at hemustincrease.org, attaching to John chapter 3, verse 30, so that you understand he must increase, I must decrease, and then the .org at the end. Otherwise, you're going to go somewhere else, and it's not us. David@hemustincrease.org, that's the email. Plus, we're going to send you up to the website, and here's a couple things to tell you on the website. For those that are looking for easier ways to listen to the show, we have an app that is free for Apple or for Android. The word free would be, of course, my favorite word, but the word free should also be your favorite word. It's not a complex app, doesn't take up a lot of space, and it's kind of got some cutesy things in there. Nothing major, pretty simple. Use the app. Oh, while you're on that, there is an opportunity to donate, the app or the website, by the way. And this is the passage we're using for today, 2 Corinthians 8:3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. If that is what the Lord puts on your heart, then do that. If you can't give unto us, we're just asking you, pray for us. Join in our struggle by praying for us. Hey, check all this out and a lot about the ministry on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
All right. We always say that that's what you want to do when you say something and you know you shouldn't have said it and you want to put it right back in your mouth.
We need one of those.
When you pull on your ear, you twitch your nose, and you poke yourself in the eye, and then it just kind of sucks all the words back into your mouth.
Slightly complex.
That would be a great thing to have, though. Here, what we're going to tell you is please be praying for the audience. That's important. So we have an audience in Dallas, Texas. We have an audience in San Diego, California. We love it. It's great. It's kind of coming back to San Diego. Very fun. Because I did 5 years in San Diego on KPRZ. Now we're here on KAAM plus K-Bright, KBRT. Bright, bright like the sun. I know everybody has their own thing. I do my own thing, so it doesn't matter. Here, would you like that?
And I love it, Dave, because what we're trying to do, and the people in San Diego don't really realize this on that second, the hour, but the callers here, they're ready to immerse themselves with the callers up there and kind of make this thing one. Yeah. And I think that's a blessing.
Yeah. So if you're in San Diego, don't hesitate. We'll promise we won't make it too hard.
All right, a little goofy, but not hard.
That's a great way to say that right there. So just to help out for those that are trying to understand what my background is for the newer people. So I hate doing this in a certain sense, but I need to do it in another sense. What does that mean? That means that the legitimacy is important for people to understand. Okay. But so you can know, I typically don't do this. But for people who are newer, we want to make sure you understand. I was born and raised Jewish, became a Christian. I ended up getting a Baptist, Pentecostal, and Charismatic ordination. Actually, I turned down a fourth ordination because they wanted money, and I wasn't going to do that. I'm still Jewish, so it's cheap. You know, I'm not doing that. And then I went on to get a BA, a master's degree in theological studies, and then a doctorate in Christian ministry and strategic Christian ministry. And people are like, well, that's not really a doctor. Well, let me explain something to you for those that don't know. The word doctor is docere in the Latin, and that word originally in the 1400s meant doctor or teacher of theology, for those who are trying to figure that out. And then what we did in America is we took that word and changed it because the word we should be using for our medical doctors is physician.
Just
little teaching. People not know that. Just thought I'd kind of drop that in there. So I'd be like, well, you're not a doctor. Well, actually, the doctor's not a doctor. He's actually a physician. We just changed the word. But okay, that's all right. We'll just move on. All right, into the teaching we go. How's that for an intro?
Took a little while. Yeah. It was fun.
All right, here we go. We're not taking a break, so you might as well enjoy it. We are in Matthew. We are in chapter 12. And for those that do not know, we are at verse 38. And here's something you might hear. Maybe this will be helpful. Maybe not. I hope it is something that will bless you. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Or here's what Matthew teaches us. One day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove that you are from God." But Jesus replied, "Only an evil, faithless generation would ask for a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so I, the Son of Man, will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." This is packed. I'm not going to unpack it, but this is packed full of stuff. The religious leaders and the teachers came to Jesus and they wanted proof that he was legitimately from God. Okay? They asked him for a sign because they wanted him to prove he was the Messiah. They asked him to do something miraculous. This is substantially different from you and me asking God for a sign to try and find our way and guidance in direction. So I want you to really handle that firmly. It is not wrong, and it has been going on for ages, all the way back to Noah, okay, and actually before when God dropped a sign on Cain's forehead. Signs in seeking and pursuing are very much a part of the journey of faith in the Lord, from the Old to the New Testament. Signs have been involved in indicators. What you can't do is say, oh, if you're Jesus, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ, prove it. That's substantially different than what is people searching for answers. And then Jesus says something that's very unique and very few commentators talk about it. I don't know why. I mean, it's probably a good subject, probably could really get into this. But Jesus said what? He said, only an evil, faithless generation would ask for a miraculous sign. Now, why that's interesting is because Jesus says it's only an evil generation that would seek for a sign to prove he was from God. He doesn't say an evil person. So I want you to make that distinction right off the bat. He's making more reference to the collective society of religious leaders than he is to a certain person. They were supposed to be looking for a Messiah, but they didn't really want the Messiah to show up because if he did, they would lose their power and their prestige. So in order to kind of cut Jesus off from his ascension to the Messiahship, they were like, prove it. Prove you're the Messiah. We don't believe it. Prove it. And so it's amazing because what people do is they I don't want to say they argue, but they go back and forth a wee bit and they say, hey, you know, you can't be asking for a sign because that's showing a lack of faith or that's this or that's that. Well, everybody asked for a sign. I mean, if I was Gideon and I had 300 men and I was going to face 135,000 men, I'd ask for a lot more than a sign or two signs. I'd ask for 100 signs and then I'd ask for 100 signs to prove the 100 signs. Because it's 300 against 135,000. I don't know if you're thinking that, but let's think of it this way. $3, okay? $3. I'm sorry, $300 versus $135,000. What do you think is bigger? Okay. So in that process, you understand, these people were saying, hey, prove it to us as a generation that you're the Christ. But an amazing thing takes place. I'm going to slow it down a little bit here. I want you to get this. Jesus, in fact, does not say there will be zero signs. He says there will only be one sign. And before we get into what that one sign is, isn't that cool? I mean, it's like, wow, that's great. We're still going to do a trivia question. Okay. You like that? Kind of a nice little segue out of that. All right. You guys should be able to get this. This should not be that difficult. In fact, it's got a little bit of smile in it. Please don't freak out on that. Who were the Hebrew midwives who disobeyed Pharaoh? Is it one, Lucy and Ethel, two, Mary and Rhoda, or three, Shipra and Pua? That's your question. Pretty straightforward. There were two people that were midwives. Two gals, and they were, you know, they were very honest and earnest before the Lord, and no, they didn't respect the government command to destroy babies.
Speak on it, Dave.
Look at this. You go, okay, come on, right? You got to listen to the government. Apparently, all the way back into Exodus, not so much, right? If it defies the law of God, then the answer is no. That's just it's as simple as can be, right? But who were the midwives who disobeyed Pharaoh? They didn't listen to the government, but they obeyed God. Was it Lucy and Ethel, Mary and Rhoda, or Shipra and Pua? That is the question that I'm asking. And in regards to that, if you think you know the answer, you're welcome to reach out to us. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? And just to help you, because we have somebody that just asked me this, you never have to worry about spelling because I'm terrible at pronunciation, let alone spelling. But the Lord,
I'm terrible at spelling.
I'm just, and the worst part of it, you know, the worst thing I have, I am so bad with faces and names. It's just terrible. It's like, what is wrong with me?
I would have never thought that, Dave. No, I thought you were about to talk about voice texting.
No, I'm telling you, radio is great for me because I don't have to read. I can listen. I can make association to voice, but it's harder to make association to face. Is that terrible? That's weird. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Knock, knock. Who's there? This is Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm doing well. I haven't gotten to listen to you in a while.
Well.
And I pulled over and stopped under a shade tree because there's high wires that get real noisy on up the road.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And we want you to be safe, so that's a very good idea. We support that 100-fold, okay?
Well, I did not even know you were in California. That's how behind I am.
Yes. Well, we are in California, and we are in Texas, so we're in both now, and we'll see where that goes from there. I'm just going to hold my tongue on the rest of it. Let's see what the Lord does.
Wonderful. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah. Yep. So always available for you. All right. Are you ready for the big question? All right. I'm going to say the whole question, and then you can give me the answer. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Who were the Hebrew midwives who disobeyed Pharaoh? Was it Lucy and Ethel, Mary and Rhoda, or Shipra and Pua?
Well, I'm going to say C, although I thought differently at first.
Now, you are correct!
Yeah!
You are correct, Amanda! That is awesome.
Actual answer was Deb and Jamie.
Was
We've not technically been midwives, but we've been there for that. We've frequently disobeyed situations that are not of the Lord to do what he tells us to do.
Amen. Amen.
So I was going to say Deb and Jamie. I'm Jamie and she's Deb.
Yeah.
And we love the adventures the Lord sends us on.
Amen. You know what's great, though, is that you do what the Lord puts before you. Because, first of all, why would we be afraid of what man can do to us? Once we're all done in the dirt, what can they do? Nothing. It's like nothing.
Not a thing.
That's why it's eternity.
And it doesn't matter what they think either.
Yeah.
I care more for what our Father thinks.
That's right. You need to know what the Lord wants and do that. Exactly.
That's right. You're an encouragement. Thank you.
God bless you. Great phone call.
You too.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, so we are rolling. Keep them doggies rolling. Okay, there we go. People are like,
I was dancing with that, actually.
Yeah, people are like, you're supposed to be serious. Okay.
It's a mixture.
Yeah. I have 7 grandkids. I no longer have to be serious. Those days are gone, right? We're still smarting on the 9 birthdays, 8-week scenario. Still 1.5. It never ends. 1.5. Well, you pay for some ahead of time. All right. Let's go back to the text. Great phone call, by the way. Back to the text. And this is just fascinating. And what I want you to catch is how powerful this is. Because people don't realize maybe the fullness of what Jesus was saying. So here's the Pharisees, the teachers of the religious law, and the Pharisees. They're like, hey, prove it. Prove you're the Messiah. Prove you're the Christ. And Jesus is like, nope, only a evil, faithless generation would even ask for a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, I want you to know right ahead of time, there is nobody who heard that statement who thought, oh, yeah, that makes sense. There's not one person who thought, brilliant, like the sign of Jonah. No, you're missing that. Okay, this Jesus even says what he's trying to talk about. For the sign is, for as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so I, the Son of Man, will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Here was the sign that Jesus was willing to offer them. Are you ready? I'm going to be dead. That's the sign. I'm going to be incapacitated for 3 days and 3 nights. You know what's great about Jonah? I mean, he eventually did it, but dude, he ran from the Lord, right? And then he got caught, and then the Lord said, that ain't gonna happen. And then into the fish he goes. We talk about it a lot. It's unbelievable. He prays after he's been in the fish for 2 days at least. So he didn't even start praying until his 3rd day, which we've all said, you know, when the fish is biting your leg or trying to bring you in, maybe you start praying in the beginning and not when you're fully consumed. That's just a thought. Maybe we should pray at the beginning of something and not the end of something. Just a kind of a thought there. And so then he's in there, and then the fish spits him out, and then he does what he has to do, and then he's all depressed, and that's a whole separate issue. But Jesus refers to the one prophet who, and of all of his stuff, got swallowed up by a fish. Now, I want you to know that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were probably sitting there going, how does that help us with the Romans? You understand? In other words, they're looking to overcome the Romans. They're looking to overthrow Rome. How does this connection, and they don't get it, because they are so worldly oriented, they have no understanding of the spiritual realm. And so it's absolutely amazing. So it's absolutely amazing. A couple things. First, looking at Jonah's life, it's like nobody thought that would be a great sign. And then Jesus makes it clear, by the way, that Jonah was a real Bible prophet, not a cartoon. All right? And there's some commentators and there's some supposed intellects that say, oh, it's just a story, just this. Really? Jesus used Jonah to affirm what was going to happen to him in the process of laying down his life in redemption for humankind. It's just like, okay, that is not a fake person. Do you not understand that? And then Jesus goes on, because he's not done. He goes, okay, look. The people of Nineveh will rise up against this generation on Judgment Day. You mean there's going to be like a city judgment as well as an individual judgment? Well, it sure looks that way. That's all I'm going to say to that right there. And they're going to condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and someone greater than Jonah is here, and you refuse to repent.
No, Jesus never told anybody to repent.
See that in the text? You refuse to repent. You're in trouble. Jesus' first message, by the way, was repent. John the Baptist's first message, by the way, was repent. Peter's first message was repent. Paul's first message was calling people to repentance. It's people are like, what? So all this, he just came around Jesus. He's love and peace in a tie-dye shirt and putting his fingers up and wearing sandals and everything's cool and no problem. They are clueless as to who Jesus is. In fact, 2 Corinthians 11:4 mentions another Jesus, and that's who they're worshiping. And it says this, the Queen of Sheba will also rise up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it because she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and now someone greater than Solomon is here, and you refuse to listen to him. Wow. So he tells them that judgment's going to fall upon them, and it will be severe for their rejection of the Messiah. And then he states the others would have quickly repented who have been in situations that have some similarity. But the Pharisees were stubborn in their sin, much like way too many Christians. Remember we talked about, especially in Job, justifying ourselves versus justifying God. When you're stuck in something or you're doing something or you're perpetually doing something and you're not seeking the Lord, you're kind of justifying it. That's a sin. Don't take that from me. It's not my message. It's his message. I'm just repeating it. And the point of that is, you know, you gotta turn your face, you gotta acknowledge. And in this, the Pharisees are just being stubborn and rebellious. Then he takes it to another level, goes, look, you know, Solomon is known as the wisest person of all. And Jesus is like, somebody more powerful, more profound is walking amongst you right now, and you guys who are supposed to be religious leaders are clueless. Do you know who really got Jesus? Was the non-religious people. They're the ones that loved him. Now, it doesn't mean no religious, but just the majority. But the majority of people that wanted the praise of men, to hang out with men, to be known by men, and to have praise and acknowledgement from their peers and everything else, those are the people that couldn't get Jesus. You know who could get Jesus? The prostitute, the drunkard, the hurting. And even somebody like Nicodemus, he got it. He's a religious leader, he's a religious guy, but he got it. The problem is he's one of 100. We can't be in that place where we are so like stuck and religiously oriented that we can't figure this out. And Jesus is telling them, look, the reason that you're seeking something else is because you don't want to acknowledge me. Remember what Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. It's amazing because in our society right now, in the culture, everything is, this person's offended, this is offensive, this is offensive. Dude, if Jesus offends you, you're going to hell. How about that? You can't say that. I didn't. He did. I didn't say anything. He did.
Oh, Dave.
Well, that's just, you can't change that. So what's the answer? You repent. You turn to Christ. You yield. Don't seek equality with God like Adam and Eve, who thought they could be equal with God and ended up bringing sin into the world. Don't do that, okay? Turn to Jesus. He's ready for you to come to him. Arms wide open. Okay, so now let me say this real quick. People in San Diego, before we do our music, you can go to HeMustIncrease.org and click on the Listen Live button. The show will keep going for those in K-Bright. Otherwise, listen to your station. For those in Texas, in Dallas, keep listening. We'll take a short break, then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
The David Spoon Experience.
This is really, really important. Who do people say that Christ is? Now listen to this. Some people think he's kind of like a John the Baptist-y guy, who's just a wild guy who goes out there and, you know, dressed up weird and has weird things to say. This is what the world thinks. Some people think, and in the other passage, he's like Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the great prophets. And it doesn't matter what any of those people think. It doesn't matter what – it matters what you think. And that's the ultimate answer. It's like, what do you think? Who do you say I am? And that's the answer you have to have. And so he says, you are the Christ, Jesus. And then Jesus' response is, blessed are you because you know this. And we're all looking for blessings from, you know, Cracker Jack boxes and lotto tickets and winning free pizzas and the whole thing. And it's like, dude, you're blessed just because you know who Jesus is. Matthew 16:17 says this. Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Here's what I want you to get. This is why this is a cool little teaching. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is the Son of the living God, that he is the Christ himself? Do you believe he is the Messiah? If you believe that, humanity did not teach you that. You did not capture that or catch that. It was revealed to you. Same word for revealed is to pull the layer back so it could be seen or understood. It's kind of like opened up, or it's a revealing process is really what it is. And the revealer is God Almighty. For you to believe that Jesus is the Christ means that God, the King of the universe, in your personal life, pulled back the covers in your mind and said, look. And you went, wow.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.